Welcome back. You are listening to We Watch Movies, the only place where you can find Elijah and myself talking about movies that we've watched. I've already told you who Elijah is, and I'm Forrest. So, Elijah, how are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm happy because you finally had an intro as awkward as my intros.
They can't always be perfect.
Yeah, they usually are.
We should recut it. Let's do it. No. So we've got a lot to talk about today.
In not a very long time.
That's right. That's right. I think we're going to start off with talking about some Tenet news. Talking about the reacting to the trailer that released, I believe it was last night, the final trailer.
I would assume so, because tonight, this morning is the first I'd seen of it.
Yeah. And
Its international release is this weekend.
yeah, wherever theaters are open, that was the hardest part of the film, the trailer to watch.
So as soon as I can, I'll be going to see it, and I know the same will be true of you. But
Yeah. But in the meantime, what did you think of it?
the trailer, I thought it was nuts. We get to see a lot more of the inversion stuff, like the buildings unexploding and the foot unstepping in the puddle.
Also, at one point, them pass a car and the window go from cracked to uncracked.
Yeah, that was cool. That was really cool.
I'm not quite sure what's going on here, but I am so excited.
Yeah, this is what I know. Some stuff goes backward and World War III, and Kenneth Branagh has the best Russian accent in the business.
Love Kenneth. Anything he's in is just immediately good in my book.
I'm glad you liked Harry Potter too, then.
I told you I did.
Yeah, you did.
So it was one part of the trailer I thought was interesting is I think there's the scene and before in the trailers, but where the main character seems to be, he's one of those underground gun ranges, and the woman's explaining to him that one of the bullets is moving forward in time and the other is moving backwards in time. I thought that was kind of insane.
It was insane. That seems kind of like our exposition scene that we'll get maybe 30 minutes into the movie. That's my
Right.
guess.
And then we had, if I'm not mistaken, there was a moment where it seemed that bits of the future was arriving in the past, which was kind of crazy, I think, towards the end of the trailer. And then we get this jump to what seems to be futuristic shots of a world war, this very dystopian war zone like area, which really contrasts the more sleek 007-esque image that the rest of the trailers have established.
Yeah, how long is this movie?
Yeah, that's a great question.
This movie is 2.5 hours, almost on the dot, so long enough to cram a lot in there.
That's about along the same lines of Inception, right? And it's currently sitting at what on Rotten Tomatoes?
Last I checked with 43 reviews, it was at 79%.
Oof.
So, like, obviously still positive. Some of the snippets I read praised the direction and the scale and the ambition with the set pieces. Some of the negatives I saw briefly mentioned were a lack of character development and, like, the plot not being as clever as Nolan seems to think it is. But I mean, obviously take with a grain of salt, and movies are very subjective. So I'm hoping I love it.
Yeah, and I'm just double checked here now, and it's after a few more reviews, it's up to 80. So that's a nice number to be on.
Feel like
But
this one's going to be really polarizing for some reason.
it seems like he's had several films like that aren't quite what everyone was expecting, and that people either loved them or hated them. Interstellar was one I think he got in the mid-70s on
Yeah.
Rotten Tomatoes, but obviously we've discussed it previously. You and I adore that film, so
Honestly, I think that one has kind of gone up in the public eye since release. I think a lot of people like it more after these 6 years. Holy crap, that was 6 years ago.
Oh, why'd you tell me that? It seemed like just yesterday. Yeah, no, I think you're right, though. It's definitely, I remember when it first came out and discussing it with people who had seen it, and they were complaining about the ending, and I can understand a little bit of that, but I think people have grown to appreciate it more in the past few years.
Yeah, I agree. Nolan makes big movies, and sometimes it takes a while for people to come around to them. Though Inception was a big old hit right off the bat.
Yeah. Yeah, at some point, when the theaters do open, they're supposed to do the 10th anniversary re-release of Inception.
That would be fun to see. I never got to see that in theaters.
Yeah. Yeah, I recall watching it after it had left theaters, and I was blown away. It was one of those first films where I realized that films could be more than just, you know, simplistic.
Yeah. I think I've mentioned it before, but that was the movie that started my love for movies. So it's pretty important.
It's a great launching point.
Yes, absolutely. Actually, I don't know if it's a great launching point because it's hard to go up from there.
That's fair.
Yeah. Off topic, I think we're both excited for Tenet, and it's awesome. I'm going to bring up something else entirely that I didn't even discuss with you beforehand because I just thought of it. Mm. Any of you Ghost in the Shell fans out there?
Oh.
September 8th, we are getting a 4K remaster of the original 1995 film with new subs, and I think maybe even a new dub, which is very exciting. Don't quote me on that. It's amazing. It's
official, folks. We are getting a new dub.
No, we're at least getting new subs. I saw that in the trailer, but it's a 4K remaster, so I'm a 4K nut. I will be ordering that probably day one, and the cover looks really pretty.
That would be beautiful because in its original iteration, all of the art, and this is something we've discussed, not on the podcast before, but something we've discussed before, is how each frame is just this beautiful image of this dystopian, futuristic Tokyo-esque city, and it's just beautiful. It might be, I can't remember what city it's supposed to be in, whether fictional or real location.
Yeah, honestly, I don't know why, but I can't remember either. But it's real pretty, and 4K is real pretty. So
yeah, it's.
I hope it's real pretty.
I hope that it'll. And I expect it'll be one of the films that benefit the most from a remaster to 4K.
Yeah, I think it really would, because you can tell, even in the Blu-ray that I have, you can tell there's some lower resolution areas. For anyone who hasn't watched Ghost in the Shell, no, it's not for everyone. Very R-rated, even though it's animated. It's very R-rated, but it's very good if you feel like it's for you.
Yeah, there's definitely moments rife with nudity, but aside from that, I wouldn't say there was anything. I don't recall anything else that would have put it in that R category.
maybe the whole violence part.
Oh, yeah, never mind. Listen to Elijah. Don't listen to me.
Yeah.
So
it is great, though.
We do have to move on. A couple things I wanted to note. The DC fandom is today. We're recording on the 22nd, so we won't be able to talk about it, but we should be getting trailers for Wonder Woman 84 and the Snyder Cut of the Justice League. I know we're both looking forward to those.
Yes, 84, I'm already hyped for.
Yeah.
So another trailer is just a fun bonus, but my gosh. If we get, like, there was a 20-second teaser for the Snyder Cut yesterday that had, like, two new shots in it, and I was so hyped. I'm so ready to see how much new footage they have.
Yeah, it feels very surreal that we are getting the Snyder Cut.
It's after. So weird that it worked.
Yeah, that never happens, right? So.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'll take it. I will take it.
And my understanding is that I think I heard that Snyder's not going to use any Josh Whedon shots.
Yeah. I was reading on Reddit, so obviously take with a grain of salt, but I do know Zack Snyder hasn't seen the theatrical release of Justice League. And I also know that apparently in some interviews, people asked Zack, like, oh, is this line going to be in it? And he just looked at them like, what? Who wrote that? That makes no sense. So, yeah, apparently he knows nothing about the theatrical release.
I know the "Do you bleed" line that Superman asks Batman is not in the film.
Yeah, he said that, like, that makes no sense. Why would he say that?
Yeah. And then I know that some of the stupid humor is going to be omitted as well. So I'm happy for that. Really looking forward to it.
Yeah. Most of the humor was stupid. I will say Aquaman sitting on the lasso. That was good.
That was kind of
that funny. One was really good. So, Josh, you got one thing right.
That's about it, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. I think my sister is hoping that the race between Flash and Superman doesn't happen because she thought that was a bit too corny. I did tell her that it happens in the comics, I think, a couple times, but. She was not a fan of that. Actually, she wasn't a fan of the whole film, so.
Yeah, that's fair. I will say I don't hate the theatrical cut. I think it's perfectly mediocre and fine. But after Man of Steel and Batman vs. Superman, both of which I personally really, really like, that was a super letdown.
Yeah. And I thought I would like it more than I did. And you ended up liking it a little more than I did.
I remember
where I was when you had just seen it and you texted me and you said you were pleasantly surprised. And I was like, oh, I got to see it now. And then I watched it and I was disappointed, which was, it's kind of funny. We've had a few instances like that where one of our expectations were not met and the other's expectations were surpassed. So,
yeah. So I will say, Solo's great.
It's horrible.
I will say, I've watched Justice League again since then, and it does not hold up on subsequent viewings. I think Jackie and I described it to each other as just a nothing movie. It just feels like nothing of any weight happens.
Well, I've only seen it once, and the word that came to mind throughout was that it was just boring. And really for the reason you just stated is that nothing really happens, nothing of significance happens.
Yeah.
Certainly not anything of significance with a $300 million budget.
Oh my gosh. Well, so. Zack Snyder... Even if it's not good, we'll at least get a cohesive vision.
And most people will like it more just because it's Zack Snyder's cut.
I'll be in that club. Sure.
All right. So we've got two more things to do today.
Yeah.
We're going to finish off the episode with a movie quiz. But before we get to that, we are going to give you, Elijah, a few minutes to talk about a couple films you've watched this past week. And that is How to Train Your Dragons 2. How to Train Your Dragon, number 2 and 3.
Yeah. So last minicast, I did talk about How to Train Your Dragon 1 and mentioned Jackie and I were rewatching those. Jackie for the first time, but we finished the trilogy. I had not seen the third one. I had seen the second. And man, this is one of the best modern trilogies, straight up, I think. It's so consistently good. The second one is brilliant and very powerful. And the third one took me by surprise because I didn't expect to love it as much as the second, but I think I love it more. it's just, the animation is stunning. Jackie and I said during the third one, like, the animators just seemed like they were showing off at this point. It is maybe the prettiest animated movie, like modern CGI animated movie I've ever seen. And Hiccup, the main character, his growth throughout all three movies, just, it works. It makes perfect sense. Each new issue, like, it's understandable in the context of what's happening in the world. The conflicts make sense based on the issues the characters are dealing with. Hiccup and Astrid as a couple are like actual human beings without stupid manufactured conflict, and they treat each other with respect and normalcy, which is very refreshing in an animated movie and in movies in general, to be honest. Yeah, there's really emotional moments, a couple shots and lines that really took my breath away. And I seriously can't recommend this trilogy enough. I'd put it up there with the recent Apes movies as one of the best modern trilogies.
Wow.
It's just consistently great. And that's hard to find. Even the Dark Knight trilogy, in my opinion, finished on a slightly weaker note with The Dark Knight Rises. But yeah, the Dragon movies, they're great all the way through.
And how would you rank them? One through three?
I've been trying to figure this out. I think, and this could be recency bias, but I think it's 3-2-1. I will say, I think 1 and 3 probably have the most cohesive scripts. I think 2 is the best directed. 3 is obviously the prettiest because it's the most recent.
Right.
But yeah. Yeah, they're all brilliant. And there's some really funny moments. Like, yeah, and the third one especially, there's some great comedy. One thing I wanted to note was, a lot of times, like, you watch an animated movie and you just think, oh, this is a kid's movie. And with Pixar and all of their really good stuff, you're like, oh, it's a kid's movie for adults. The third Dragon movie and the second Dragon movie, in my opinion, felt like an adult movie for kids. And
it's an interesting way to put it.
Yeah. I never felt like this was aimed at kids. I don't know why, but it really resonated with me. I feel like the themes are kind of universal, and it really gets you in the feels, man. Yeah, I don't want to spoil anything, but if you haven't seen the Dragon trilogy, please do. I would rank it very highly amongst other animated movies. I think it's better than the Toy Story series. We've been over that. I don't love Toy Story. It's truly great. And that's all I'll say.
So would you say that the How to Train Your Dragon films, and each film was separated by, I think, a large gap of years?
Yeah, each one is a few years after the previous, which is rare.
So would you say that each film, all three films, are geared towards the exact same audience, the kids who were 10 years old when the first one came out? The second one was aimed towards those, you know, now teenagers, and the third one is geared towards those now young adults?
I think you could say that. The themes Hiccup goes through, just by nature of being the age he is in the world he is, definitely line up with those, with that idea.
I gotcha.
Yeah, I'd imagine, sorry, let me start over. I can't speak from experience because I didn't see these as I grew up, but I'd imagine if someone had, it would be a very similar thing that I felt with Harry Potter, where I felt like I was growing up with Harry. I imagine a lot of kids felt like they grew up with Hiccup.
I gotcha.
Which is really cool.
Grow up with either.
Yeah, that's your problem. You grew up with nothing.
It's not true. grew up with I true. I won't lie. If you had to give all three, I think I know what area, what rating you have on them, but what would you give each, all three of them?
I think I did 4, 5, 5 okay. for one, yeah, two, no, and three. I hate being this guy, but one of the only reasons I had to knock the first movie is because the visuals just haven't aged quite as well, at least from an animation standpoint, and that's not DreamWorks' fault or the creator's fault. The tech just wasn't there yet.
Yeah, I totally understand. And but, didn't Roger Deakins have some role hand to play?
I don't know if he had a role in the first, but he was a visual consultant on the second and third films.
I gotcha. I gotcha.
Which you can tell because, my gosh, it's good.
Well, I definitely have to check them out. It certainly sounds like it's a better presentation from DreamWorks than maybe the Madagascar sequels.
I never saw the... Actually, you know what? I remember the third Madagascar, and I didn't think it was that bad. It was pretty funny.
You're talking to someone who likes the Madagascar films. So.
Yeah. The third one... that's the Afro Circus one, right? I thought that crap was hilarious as a kid.
Yeah, my favorite was the one where they... Well, aside from the original, I like the second one a lot.
Yeah, I don't remember the second at all, but I do know
that... They go to Africa, so that was pretty dope.
Madagascar is in Africa.
They go to the continent of Africa. Madagascar is an island on the eastern coast of Africa.
Yes, I knew that, but it is part of Africa. Flying back
to New York... They crashed down in mainland Africa, which is interesting. Interesting thing to note is I believe on the I think they show the route the plane takes in the film, you know, the little animated thing.
Yeah.
And they show the plane down on the western central coast of Africa, which is mostly all rainforest, especially if you get to the Congo region. However, what they depicted and all the animals they depicted all live in the Kenya Uganda, which is on the east coast of Central Africa. So I thought that was an interesting little tidbit that no one else would find interesting.
Yeah, that's an oopsie daisy. I think that's pretty interesting. That's inaccurate storytelling.
Yeah, there you go. So
the main thing I remember about Madagascar sequels is that the third one got my younger brother, Ethan, obsessed with Katy Perry's Firework for like 6 months.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it was rough, but he's grown out of that now. He's got much better music taste.
Is it like your music taste?
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay.
I'm very proud of myself because I had an influence on that.
No, really?
You don't say.
You don't say. Are you a... You ready to move on here?
Yeah. Who knew we'd talk about Madagascar?
Da, 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 for, yeah. So I've got here a trivia quiz, and I have the answers right in front of me. So I can't play, but you can play. And
host me.
I'm going to host you. Welcome to the first annual movie podcast.
So we're literally just going to do this once a year.
But it might be semi-annual. So
okay, just, yeah, go ahead.
Introduce this time we're not going to play any specific games. You don't have to get to any point total, and there's no prize at the end or punishment. We're just going to play this casually and see how many questions we can
get. I'm doing this for nothing?
You're doing this for pride. Now, I will...
Okay, I can respect that.
I will avoid questions where I don't think you've seen the film for your sake.
I mean, you can give them a shot.
Hard hitters. Okay. Nah, I'm going to give you all the hard hitters.
Yeah. Yeah. I know nothing about this, by the way. Like, he told me he wanted to do a movie quiz, and I didn't really know what that meant. So I said, okay. And here we are.
All right. If you're ready to begin, I've got the first question for you.
Okay. I'm ready.
What are the dying words of Charles Foster Kane in Citizen Kane?
Rosebud.
Ding.
Question. I haven't even seen that one.
Everyone knows Rosebud. I mean, that was a layup.
It's a sled. You'd be surprised, man. I cannot hit a layup to save my life right now.
Oh, that's just disappointing.
You're not wrong. I'm disappointed with myself.
You should be. All right. Question two. Who played Mrs. Robinson in The Graduate?
Oh, gosh. I know the character. I know the movie. I know the character. I cannot remember the actress's name. I'm gonna have to take a pass. I don't know.
Anne Bancroft.
Okay, I would not have got that even if I guessed.
Question three. What was the first feature-length animated movie ever released?
Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Ding! For you, for those of you keeping track at home, he has two correct.
That's like 1936, I think.
I think you're on the right track there, but I'm not quite sure of the year. Question number four. In The Matrix, does Neo take the blue pill or the red pill?
You know what? Oh, it's 1937. I was so close.
Yeah.
Dang it. You'd think I would know this because I love The Matrix.
You should know this.
I should, but I always get the pills confused. I think he takes the blue pill.
Bam, bam, bam. You're wrong. It is the red pill.
Red pill is the rabbit hole? That's easy to remember.
Red pill is the rabbit hole. So you have two correct. So
two far. For four, 50%.
Two for four.
That's an F. But that in is baseball, that's a pretty good batting average. So I don't know how to feel. Baseball. I don't know how to feel right now. I'm either a good hitter or a poor academic.
Question five. For what movie did Tom Hanks score his first Academy Award nomination?
Nomination?
Yes.
Big?
Yes.
Nice.
You're correct. I'm sorry. Yeah. Ding. You're correct.
Oh, we're dinging all the time?
If you want. If you don't, then, you know, you're the worst.
Why not?
You have three correct. Question. Keep track of how many you've got correct.
I'm trying.
Question number six. What 1927 musical was the first quote-unquote talkie? Damien Chazelle would know this.
He would.
So you should know it.
Naturally. I don't know.
The answer was The Jazz Singer.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Question cool, seven.
I didn't know the first talkie was a musical.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't surprise me considering it was 1927.
Did you know that?
No.
Okay.
Question number seven. What's the name of the skyscraper in Die Hard?
Oh, man.
You should know this.
I know. It's on the tip of my tongue. The letters are there. They are trying to form a word.
Would you like to phone a friend?
Yeah, sure. Hey, Forrest, what's the tower in Die Hard named?
I believe it's Nakatomi Plaza.
Nakatomi, yeah. I had the letters. I had the N and the K.
You just had to put them all together.
Yeah, I did. I didn't put them together. You did for me. So definitely a wrong answer, but
so you
I was close.
Yeah, sure. I believe you.
Yeah, my brain was close. Trust me.
All right, we are moving on to question number eight.
I'm disappointed in my performance so far. This is lackluster.
You are what, 3 of 7 so far?
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
How many questions are there?
100.
Oh, we're excellent. I have time. I have time to catch up.
7. That's it. Okay. This is question number. Well, whatever it is. Question
eight.
Question number eight. What is the name of the spell used by Ron and Hermione in Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone to make their feathers fly?
Wingardium Leviosa. It's Leviosa, not Leviosa.
Wingardium Leviosa. Yeah, you're right.
I know.
Number nine. So back you have to
500.
Four, yeah, you're back at 500. Number nine. What flavor of Pop-Tarts does Buddy the Elf use in his spaghetti in Elf?
I haven't seen Elf in like a decade.
It's really easy.
Is it cinnamon or brown sugar cinnamon?
Wah, wah, wah. No, it's chocolate.
That's not the easy Pop-Tart answer. If you say the Pop-Tart's easy, everyone knows brown sugar cinnamon is the only Pop-Tart that matters.
Okay.
That's faulty information.
Okay, two things. One, okay, three things. One, you should just be going off your own. You shouldn't be listening to me. Two, I wasn't talking about specifically Pop-Tarts. I was just talking about a generic thing. Chocolate is a generic thing. Three, if we were talking about Pop-Tarts and something being really easy, it would be strawberry. I mean, that's the...
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
No, 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 stop. Not that it's the best, but it's the most widely known. Obviously, cinnamon brown sugar is the best.
Okay. You've redeemed yourself. That'd be interesting. I wonder, like, because if you get the dual packs or whatever, it's those two flavors.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Cinnamon brown sugar always goes first, but when I think Pop-Tart, I think strawberry Pop-Tart.
Okay. I'll accept it, I suppose.
So you are, what, six? You were...
I've got one four, right?
You're one question over 500.
Under,
that's right, because you got that one wrong, not right. Question number 10. What shocking Wes Craven's horror movie carried the marketing tagline, "To avoid fainting, keep repeating, it's only a movie"?
Oh, man. There's a few ways I could go with this.
Dun, 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 dun.
Can I ask a clarifying question?
Yes.
It's not a clarifying question. It's more of a hint question. Is it his first movie?
I don't know.
Right. You probably would
crave it horror.
I feel like this is the wrong one, but based on the tagline, I think it would make the most sense for being Nightmare on Elm Street.
So close, but no. Boom, boom, boom. Is it
The Last House on the Left?
You are correct.
Dang it.
Have you seen it?
No, but I know a lot about horror movies because when I'm bored, I read plot summaries on Wikipedia.
Because you can't watch them.
I know more about the Saw franchise than you'd think.
That's slightly disconcerting. Okay. Yeah.
I agree.
You have
disappointed in myself as well.
4 of 11 correct. Question 12.
4 out of 10.
4 out of 10. Question 11. What pop vocal group performs at the wedding in Bridesmaids?
That I have no idea. I have not seen that movie. The Ramones.
Wilson Phillips, but I do like the effort.
Thanks.
Even though you're woefully wrong. So you have 4 out of 10 correct so far. How are you feeling?
You cannot remember anything.
No, 4 out of 11. How are you feeling?
I'm disappointed in myself. I'm not going to lie. I think I need to come out with a better second half, 90%.
Do you want me to give you questions?
No, hold on.
Okay.
I want to do the quiz.
Question number 12. What real-life, on-again, off-again Hollywood power couple starred in the film Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
That could have gone a lot of directions, and I did not think it would go that direction. Can I ask for a small hint that you can figure out for me?
Sure.
What year did that movie come out?
Mm. I would be willing to divulge at least one of the names while I look this up.
Give me the year first so I can get it. If it's older, I'm not going to have any idea. If it's semi-recent, I might have a shot.
It is 1966.
Okay. Why don't you give me a name?
I'll give you the one that I am least familiar with, and that is Richard Burton.
Hmm.
That was not his helpful. Female counterpart.
I don't know. I don't know.
The answer was Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton.
Okay. Yeah. I have not heard of either of them.
Elizabeth Taylor? You've not heard of Elizabeth Taylor?
I don't think I have. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Question number 13. What American writer-director starred in several iconic European-produced spaghetti westerns?
Clint Eastwood.
Ding! Oh, I'm so happy. 5 of 13, correct?
You would have been so depressed if I got that wrong.
That's going to do it for us today, guys.
Yeah, that's 5 for 13. This is... Okay. I'm sorry, audience. I'm really letting you down.
Let's see how many we can get in here. Question number 14. Uh-huh. Who played juror number 8 in 12 Angry Men?
Was that? I can't remember if that was the main character.
Just go with the one you know.
If it was Henry Fonda.
Ding!
Okay. And I was envisioning the table, and he was like sort of in the 8th position.
Yeah. No, you're good. You're good.
Which is impressive by the movie for me to be able to remember that.
Question 15. The head of what kind of animal is front and
horse.
Center?
Horse.
Yes. Ding! You're correct. Question 16. What TV show was Jack Nicholson referencing when he ad-libbed "Here's Johnny" in The Shining?
Oh man!
Oh come on! This one's easy.
I know it is. I'm blanking.
Here's
yes, I know. It's one of the. It's one of those shows. I can't remember the name.
Jimmy Fallon currently hosts the show.
Well, it's a late night, so There you go. Whoever did late night. And then
the answer was The Tonight Show starring Johnny Carson.
Yeah.
17. What critically panned 1984 country musical comedy starring Dolly Parton and Sylvester Stallone eventually became a cult classic? Why does it sound like something I would watch?
That was a roller coaster. You got to figure out what that is.
It's a country musical comedy starring Dolly Parton and Sylvester Stallone.
Rambo, First Blood. That's my guess.
She's singing and you can't understand a word he says.
That's the actual title?
No.
Oh.
The answer is Rhinestone.
I didn't know that.
Number 18. How many do you have right? 6?
7, thank you.
7, okay. Number 18. Who played park owner John Hammond in Jurassic Park?
I don't know his name.
Richard Attenborough.
Mm. Can I tell you something that you won't believe?
I will believe it.
My brain told me his name is Richard. I didn't know his last name, but I had Richard in my head for some reason.
Question 19. In what 1976 thriller does Robert De Niro famously say, "You talking to me?"
Taxi Driver.
Ding. Question number 20. For what movie did Steven Spielberg win his first Oscar for Best Director?
Jaws.
Bam, bam, bam. The correct answer was Schindler's List.
He didn't win before Schindler's List.
I know. It's a tragedy, huh?
I was ready to guess Jurassic Park and E.T. Wow. Okay.
Schindler's List was certainly deserving.
Oh yeah, no
I'm
doubt.
I'm just surprised that it was his first.
Wow, okay, cool. I actually learned something.
You want a few more, or do you want to wrap up?
Let's do 5 more.
Okay,
five. This is fun. I like stuff like this.
All right. So I'm going to, since we got five more left, I'm going to pick the ones I think are the most interesting here.
Okay. I've gotten eight right out of like 20.
That's not a bad shooting percentage.
What do you think you would have gotten right?
I would have gotten The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson correct. I would have gotten probably the Pop-Tart one and the pill, the red pill.
Are there any that I got that you wouldn't have gotten?
I would probably not have gotten no.
Oof. I almost got Last House on the Left, though. That was my second guess.
Yeah, that was pretty good. I wouldn't have got the Hermione one.
That's true. That's very true. Okay, hit me with five more. We're gonna bat 100 here. 5 for 5 to close it out.
Okay. The first one of these five. What famous LA landmark is heavily featured in Rebel Without a Cause?
You said, sorry, LA landmark?
Yes, as in Los Angeles, not Louisiana.
Gotcha. Cool. Thanks for clarifying. Mm-hmm. I was going to guess some Louisiana landmark that I definitely know.
Oh, yeah.
The thing in La La Land.
What is it called?
It's the place in La La Land after that they go to after watching Rebel Without a Cause.
It is an observatory. What is the observatory called?
Yes, the observatory in La La Land.
The answer was the Griffith, as in Andy Griffith, observatory, which is hard to say.
Griffith.
Yeah. So you're batting 0% right now of these five. Next question. What is the highest grossing R-rated movie of all time?
Domestic?
It just says highest grossing R-rated movie of all time. So if
Passion of the Christ is domestic.
Okay, so it's not that one.
Okay, Deadpool.
Incorrect. The answer was Joker.
I'm doing research.
Yes, because if they're wrong, the whole list is suspect.
I mean, I'm sure they're right. I didn't track Joker's box office like I usually do. Give me a moment. Where's the, okay, all time. Okay. Domestic, I was correct with Passion of the Christ. Deadpool is second. Worldwide, Joker was number one, so it wanted worldwide.
Yeah. It's a good time to mention now that you're a bit of a geek when it comes to the box office totals.
Yes, I am.
So
apparently Joker wins the international race significantly by about 300 million.
Wow.
Yeah.
I guess it had greater mass appeal than the Deadpool films?
I guess so.
What came in second?
Internationally, Deadpool 2, and then Deadpool 1. And then The Matrix 2.
Mm. The Matrix. Ooh, okay.
Domestic, Passion of the Christ, Deadpool, American Sniper, Joker, and It.
I gotcha. You ready for another question here?
Yeah.
Okay. Third question. Who took over the role of Bruce Wayne's love interest, Rachel Dawes, in The Dark Knight following Katie Holmes' exit after Batman Begins?
Oh, I know this one. Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Hey, there we go. Next question. What song plays over the opening credits of Guardians of the Galaxy?
Come and Get Your Love.
Bye.
I don't know. You didn't ask for that.
Well, that is fair. You're correct. It is Come and Get Your Love by Redbone.
Okay.
So you have two for four. Yeah, 2 for 4. Let's give you, we'll do, hmm.
Next time I'm quizzing you.
I think that's a good idea.
This is fun.
Who played the unsinkable Molly Brown in Titanic?
The what now?
The unsinkable Molly Brown in Titanic.
Is that the main girl?
No. No. Actually, she is a character based on a real person, the unsinkable Molly Brown, who survived the Titanic, but not only survived the Titanic, but took control of the raft she was in to go back, and she saved a bunch of people that was in the water.
So it's not Kate Winslet.
No. No.
And I have no idea.
The answer is Kathy Bates.
Oh. I would like a different question, please.
Okay.
That one was stupid.
You're saying the unsinkable Molly Brown is stupid?
No, I'm saying the question about her was stupid.
Which Alfred Hitchcock thriller is notorious for its shocking shower scene?
Psycho.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, that one was easy. But that was fun.
We'll do, as the great Frank Sinatra would say, one more for the road. And the question is... Oh, I lost it. I had it, and now I lost it. Which movie was incorrectly announced as the winner of Best Picture at the 2017 Academy Awards during the greatest Oscar flub of all time?
La La Land.
Ding, ding, ding. And he is a winner.
I'm not sure I am.
I think you got, what, 3 of 6 right there at the end? And you had 7 right of the 20? Or 8 right of the 20?
I think so. I had 4 of 7 at the end.
Well, yes. No, you're right. 4 of 7 plus 8 of 20 is 12 of 27.
Nice, we're rocking 42-ish%.
You have a final score of 44%.
You know what? Only one hitter has ever hit 400 in baseball history.
Well, we'd be doing great if we were playing baseball.
Yeah, I'm killing it right now.
Well,
the Ted Williams of... movie trivia.
Next time we play, you'll have to ask the questions, and hopefully I can do a little better than 44. But I'll be ashamed of myself if I don't at least tie 44.
I hope you do terribly. I'll have to find a different quiz though,
because in 1910. Old movie questions.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to do it.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Next week, we will be continuing our Harry Potter series, and we will be watching and discussing the 3rd film and the 4th film. Elijah, what are they called?
Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban and Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire.
Yeah, we're going to do that. And in the second segment, we're going to be doing a pop quiz. Elijah is going to be pop quizzing me on my knowledge of Harry Potter, seeing how much I've paid attention through 4 films.
Yes, I will do my very best to make the quiz applicable only through the first 4 movies.
Please do.
Yeah.
In film 8, what happened? No, I'm not going to get that, Elijah.
The big issue is I might accidentally put book questions in.
Well, I'll probably have the same chances of success answering correctly.
Fair enough.
Either in, so.
If you don't get 44%, I'm going to be disappointed.
If they're all questions about spells, I'm going to be so dead wrong. Feel free to throw some multi-choice questions in there if you care.
Okay. What I'll probably do is make the multiple choice, and you can, like, I'll ask the question, and if you don't know, I'll give you the multiple choice options.
I gotcha. A little bit Who Wants to Be a Millionaire action.
There you go. Except you will not be a millionaire because I have no money.
That's fair. right. That's going to do it for today, guys. I have been Forrest. He has been Elijah. This has been We Watch Movies. You guys have been beautiful. Until next time, don't be dumb.